Hi guys, it's Jesse
and Hannah
and Eli and Bulby.
Eli and Bulby.
Welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Maybe we've been a little too harsh.
We could have a jingle.
I'll sing a different jingle every time.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
How has your week been?
Oh my
I feel
God.
Like it's been about a week.
Since yeah, I've just been having a psychotic break for a week and freaking
Why?
The fuck out because I do that sometimes. Yeah, my life has
I
been
know,
a mess. I've
called
my therapist.
Why, but I'm
like,
also angry that this is happening to you again.
I called my therapist like three times, being like, and I found a bottle of clonopin, which I thought Seth had taken all of it. So I took one of those, and then my therapist got really mad at me.
Yes.
So then she made me go and put them in my car so at least they wouldn't be, like, in my apartment. She wanted
yes.
other things, but I agreed to car. So they're in my car now, and I haven't taken one since.
That's good.
And I'm considering my options with regards to that. I like drugs. What can I say?
Okay.
I hate nannying, but Oliver's sweet. He didn't nap yesterday. He stayed awake the entire day and pooped three times.
Oh,
and I was like,
that's
this
awful.
Is awful. I wanted a nap so badly and I couldn't have one. Grad school continues to be stressful.
You're doing a lot.
I am. I'm going to the beach tomorrow. My apartment's a mess. It's the same old stuff. I'm a mess, basically. Yeah, I feel like I'm not really here. I'm kind of floating above my life right now.
Is there anything we can do to, like, ground you?
Nope.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I just had therapy and that didn't fix me, so what else is there?
Well, did therapy give you some tools or options?
No, we talked about other stuff. I've got a lot to talk
about.
We talked about, like, my parents and my issues with my parents.
Okay. Yes. Why do you hate nannying?
Because it's physically so exhausting.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Yes.
It makes me
sense.
Feel like I'm going to die. Also,
yes.
It's boring. Babies are boring.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I miss
bridal
salon. I
was a nanny for 3 to 4 years, and yes.
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah.
I want to just stay home and sleep.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Hopefully you can sleep at the beach.
Some. I mean, I'm going to be working while I'm there because the baby will be there.
Yeah.
But
he'll also sleep. He'll take naps.
He will. And it'll be Yom Kippur. And I'm the only one in my family who observes. So that's kind of lonely.
I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself.
What are they?
My thoughts are that Yom Kippur is an antiquated holiday that, like, doesn't hold any relevance to contemporary Judaism, and I was gonna a little bit blame you for, celebrating, but you're allowed to have your own celebration of Judaism.
I love Yom Kippur. It's my favorite holiday.
You and my boss, you should take my fucking job and work with her for the next week, because I can't do it.
It's my favorite holiday. I just feel so centered, and so I always feel like I get guidance, and that my life starts pointing in a more concrete direction. Like, in this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur this year has been especially, like, insane and turbulent and crazy and
yes.
undefined, so I'm really looking forward to Yom Kippur putting, like, a stop to that and being like, listen, this is where you're going.
I just don't understand that because, well, there's a lot of problems that I have with it. A lot of the text that we use during Yom Kippur is, like, horribly inappropriate to continue using.
Mm.
It's very much like putting the blame on people. And, like, God is a man, and God says women inferior because women have vagina, so women stupid. You know, like, dumbass shit like that. But then, also, like, there's a whole part of Yom Kippur where there's, like, a list of sins.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, sins, why do we keep on fucking talking about that?
I don't know.
When there's really no like Jewish afterlife that is like agreed upon by the entire religion.
I have wondered about that.
I feel like it's the way that we continue doing it is because like certain rabbis are like, I would die for this holiday, and therefore like we aren't updating it.
Yeah.
Like it is, it could continue, in my opinion, to be relevant or even to like match up a little bit more with like the way that the religion is the rest of the entire year.
Yeah.
And we just aren't doing anything about it.
I don't really care about the sit-ins or any of that, or I just...
That's the whole holiday!
I know, but I don't... not to me. To me, it's about the period where the gates of heaven are open between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And...
But you're supposed to be, like, apologizing and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that's all that it is. I mean, I do think that the apologizing is important, but I think that it's about, like, this is the period where God can really see you. And where you can really see God. It's a really special time. Mm. And for me, my life always falls apart during this time.
Oh.
And for these, during that week. And I had a rabbi one time say that Rosh Hashanah is when you write the flight plan and Yom Kippur is when you take off.
Oh.
And I really like that metaphor.
I do like that too.
And I always feel... on Yom Kippur, like, I'm ready. Like, I'll make New Year's resolutions. I do it on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah, because I feel like I need that week to
reevaluate.
Yeah, to just like, be a mess and figure everything out. And it always feels like it's not coming together, and then Yom Kippur, it just somehow does. And it's magical.
That makes sense. If any rabbis are listening to this, that you should
take notes.
You should be like that meme Hannah tweeted the other day. It was like, God, the rest of the year, I do not see it. God on, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I am looking.
I was very proud
like,
of that
it
meme.
Just could be so much more relevant. And it's still like considered like such a holy day. And I feel like so much of the way that it is practiced across all of the synagogues that I've been to, which is a lot, and all of the synagogues that I've worked at, which is one, and all of this dumb Jewish stuff that I've done for my working life. Like, it is so meaningful to so many people, except for, like, myself and all the other atheist Jews, for the most part. And I want it to be better.
Yeah.
This is my constant struggle
this is,
in life.
See, this is where I come in. Maybe you should try not being an atheist.
I have tried my whole life. Like, I have never connected with prayer, ever. I don't like when... Like, this is also my other thing about Judaism, is that I think, and I know no one is going to agree with me, but I think that all prayers should be niguns, which...
What's that?
Yeah, I was going to then explain it because I wasn't sure if you knew, and I know most of our listeners don't know. It is like a wordless tune.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of like Hava Nagila, mm-hmm. the song that we do the horror to, started off as a nigun, and it's supposed to be almost like a higher form of prayer because there are no words to it. It's just like a melody. And to me, that's what all of the prayers have always been my whole life, because they all have tunes, but I don't speak Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I've literally no intention to ever learn to speak Hebrew. This is why I can't make Aliyah.
Yeah.
but, like, I still find them to be, like, spiritually valuable, and, like, for me, it's a form of meditation, and I feel like that... especially because there's a huge history of, like, Jewish meditation. That's, like, the center of, like, contemporary Jewish practice.
Yeah.
Especially for American Jews. And I feel like we should be tapping into that more than we do.
I'm always in favor of anything that involves less Hebrew, because, like you, I don't know Hebrew. I have tried to learn it. I cannot. It's hard.
It's hard, yeah.
There's a different alphabet, okay? It's hard.
Yeah. Yes.
And I didn't learn it growing up, and it's not for me. So. So. Yeah,
it's also not that useful.
No.
That's my thoughts on Judaism, and Hey Alma refuses to print any of them because they're too spicy. Also, the people who run Hey Alma, 70 Faces Media, I hope you fucking choke, all of you. You're all bastards and pseudo-Republicans, so I hate them. I can't stand them.
You tell them.
I will. Thank you to the 20 people who listen to this podcast, keeping it very quiet.
None of whom know what Hey Alma is.
I really hope they don't. Yeah, I have a lot of problems with them and their business practices.
Okay, so that was my life. How's your life?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's fucking the week before Yom Kippur. I had to have a stupid conversation with my dumb job people about teshuvah, which is the Hebrew word for forgiveness, which got me angry because I also have problems with forgiveness.
Me too.
As someone who has been abused for, I think like 18 years of my life, that was going on. And there were multiple times where there was multiple abuse situations happening at once. So I fucking hate the word forgiveness and don't want to do it.
Same.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems with it. But other than that, I found Bulby's brush.
Nice.
Which is great because I've been looking for it for, like, weeks. He has a bunch of mats on one side of his body, so I'm taking him to get groomed. Finally. I'm about to finish this embroidery project that I hate, that I've been doing for almost a month. What else? What has been happening? Oh, I started reading Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh, how is it?
So far, it's okay. I think it's supposed to be a lot like autobiography. I don't
know that one.
Okay. Autobiography is basically like Aristotle and Dante discovered the secrets of the universe, but Mormon. Yeah, I think I related to that one more as like a Jew in a very Christian world.
Yes.
Because like one character is Mormon, the other one isn't. And I think Red, White, and Royal Blue is supposed to be a lot like autobiography, and so like the setup is there. But the writing style is not as good.
I know people are, like, obsessed with it, and it never sounded like my thing.
But
the author's next book that's coming out sounds really fucking cool.
Okay,
cool. It's about this lesbian in New York, and she meets this girl on the subway, but then it turns out this girl is from, like, 20 years before, and she's, like, stuck in time or something. Yeah, it sounds cool.
Stop. Okay, definitely gonna read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also read Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. Okay. It's like one of the only fantasy books with Jewish people in it.
Mm.
It's amazing. I know you don't like to read, but I think this is a book that you would appreciate.
Mm. Oh, I have to write a short story. I forgot to mention that in my life. And by write a short have to write it, I mean I have to write it tonight.
you should.
Yeah. I've written like half of it.
Oh, okay.
So I have to write the other half.
And you write faster than me.
And honestly, I'm going to rush the second half of it, so probably
I believe in you.
Yeah.
I have faith in your ability.
And I have a lot of homework to do, but mostly I'm just going to sleep.
You got this. Okay, okay. That's it. And then I was going to also say that the Naomi Novik has another book coming out, so I pre-ordered that, and I'm, like, very happy because I read, like, a bunch of really shitty books from, like, March through, like, about a week ago. And now I'm finally, like, reading books that are actually enjoyable to get through, and so I'm, like, feeling good about that. I have some pitches that I sent out that I'm really proud of, and I am honestly thinking about pitching a story about Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the news cycle completely forgets about her, because I'm sick of the, anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
That is just, like, all over Twitter and Facebook. Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's, like, a powerful Jewish person dies, immediately jumping into, this person was horrible, mm-hmm. and here's why. Okay, well, you didn't do that shit when fucking John McCain died. He died, right?
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
He's
I was really nervous for a second. As soon as I said it, I was like, Yeah. So maybe stop holding Jewish people to a higher standard because it's rude and I hate you.
Yep.
So, okay, cool. I'm ready to talk about the episode.
Sweet. Okay. Episode 6.
Yes.
What are our thoughts?
It was, like, fine, but I didn't feel myself, like, totally invested like I had the past few episodes.
I gotcha. Actually. I really love the Brian and Justin stuff in this one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about anything else. I mean, we get to meet Ben, and...
I do like Ben already.
Ben is so great. He obviously has his times when he's going to piss me off, but as a whole, he's a great character.
Okay. And, I'm looking forward to him.
Until the last season when they decide that he and Michael are, like, villainous, which is fun in its own way. It's kind of like what they do with Jenny. Like, where they just decide that they're evil, and it's, like, it's kind of fun. But until then, Ben is a good influence on Michael, and it's fun to have around.
I'm excited to have an intellect in the group.
Yeah, he's very smart. And he's really going to close the door on... the whole Michael Bryan will they won't they thing, which is such a relief to have that over with.
Also, another older looking man.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously know that Michael has daddy issues.
We do.
Disappointed, but
and of course he's HIV positive, and it's
That was at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yeah.
Here's a bad fact about me is that I went through a phase like my senior year of high school where all I did for fun was rewatch The L Word, smoke too much weed, and watch AIDS documentaries and cry.
Sure.
I don't know what was happening.
That sounds like me, but just queer as folk instead of The L Word.
Okay, I'm glad we can be in this together.
We've been there. it's the conversation that they have around this is dated, but it's not bad.
I'm imagining they're not gonna involve prep in the conversation. No, prep
did not exist.
Yeah, okay.
And they didn't know anything about being undetectable means that you couldn't
That's recent.
Yeah, they didn't know any of that.
Okay. I definitely feel like we're going to be able to pull in. I don't know if you ever watched How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We can definitely bring in that conversation because there's a gay couple on that show. One of them becomes HIV positive and they take
prep.
It's
much less
of
a big deal than it is here, definitely.
Yes, and it's definitely more like updated. I feel like we can do a good comparison. Mm-hmm.
It's a very different vibe here.
Yes.
Which makes sense, given the time.
Yeah.
And
also that Michael's uncle has AIDS.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I'm excited. Anything that makes Michael have an emotion that isn't stupid, I'm down for.
I like Ben. And I like what he brings into the show. So I'm very excited.
I like that he's a
here.
Professor at CMU.
Mm-hmm.
I get to bring in my Pittsburgh knowledge.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I did apply for a job as a reporter in Pittsburgh, but I don't think I'm going to get it.
Oh, that's exciting, though.
It was, like, reporting on higher education. I was like, well, I just graduated, a year ago, and I am connected to higher education and higher education there, mm-hmm. so maybe I'm a good person to choose. Yeah, I don't know. So.
Okay, who are we going to start with?
Lesbians.
Okay. Lindsay is just awful.
She's been a prude the last several episodes, and it is just so obnoxious.
Yep.
Like, if you can't hang, then leave.
Yep. And she cannot hang.
So be a bitch.
At the same time, I feel like if I were actually hanging out with these people, I would totally be the one going, like, why are all of our conversations about sex?
But it's not like they're talking about sex in a way that's annoying. Like, they're having funny and lighthearted conversations, and sex just happens to be a part of it.
True.
Is she just, like, is such a wet blanket? She, like,
she
popped
is.
Out a baby and just became a brick. I don't know. She's weighing everyone down, is what I'm trying to say.
She sucks. Melanie has done porn. Good for you, Melanie.
Yes. She looked awesome.
Yep. Love it. Melanie continues to be sexy as hell.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan.
Yes. I love everything about her.
I told you there was a great lesbian in the show. There was one great lesbian.
Someone just dropped something really loud in my house.
Ooh. I hope, glad that didn't happen in my house since there are no other people here.
Yeah. Oh, Sean's girlfriend just parked in, is arriving.
Sean has a new girlfriend? Or is it old girlfriend?
This is old girlfriend. This is girlfriend that he just passed 2 years with.
Oh, didn't they break up?
Crazy. No. That was his first girlfriend was a bad relationship, in my opinion, and they broke up.
Oh.
And then, like, a month or two later, he started dating one of his best friends since middle school, and they've been dating ever since.
That was 2 years ago that they broke up? Jesus Christ.
I know. We've been doing this for a long time.
God, I would have told you that was, like, 6 months ago.
Well, maybe in our dreams.
Yes.
I don't like the time is passing either.
Yes, it's terrible. I'm getting older. It's not good.
Yeah, I get that.
I really want to do something drastic with my hair, but, like, I don't know what. Also, I'm getting married soon.
You should.
No, I should not, because I'm getting married.
It's just hair.
I know, but I have a certain hairstyle that I'm getting married in June, which is not long from now, and I have a hairstyle that I have in mind, and I need just, like, regular long hair for it.
Okay, well, you can still, like, dye it.
No.
Okay, never mind. You could go get a tattoo.
I would love to go get a tattoo, but there's a pandemic, Jesse.
Yeah. I found this tattoo artist that I like, and I only get tattooed by a queer tattoo artist.
Sure.
And this person, like, opened up their books and was like, I'm being extremely COVID safe, and in addition to, like, mask, gloves, temperature check, which is, like, normal, you have to also get a COVID test.
Mm.
Which I feel like is wasteful.
Yeah, it does.
Like, aren't we still having a problem with not enough tests?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I feel like it's not worth it to get a test unless you think you have it.
Yeah, I got a test when I was in the hospital because they were just testing everybody.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's different.
It's super uncomfortable. Don't recommend.
Yeah.
It's like a pap smear in your nose.
Did you know that Israelis invented a more effective, more accurate one, and it's literally you just fucking breathe into a stick?
I would love to breathe into a stick.
I know, it'd be way easier.
Yeah.
Whatever. The pandemic's never gonna end. We're not gonna have a safe change of power.
Correct.
In the White House. And if the election is contested, which it will be, the Supreme Court is just gonna be a bunch of assholes. So,
yep.
Can't wait for us to burn down the White House. If the FBI or CIA is listening to this, you can take me into custody.
I think the odds that we're going to avoid a civil war are so slim at this point.
They are so slim. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
I, like, really was seriously thinking about making Aliyah, like, the other day. I'm pretty worried.
My cousin did.
But I also...
My second cousin.
I feel like I can't take my two cats on an airplane.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think Israel's any safer.
Probably not.
They're also gonna have a civil war.
Yeah. Oi.
Can I move to France? Maybe I'll do that.
Sure. I support you.
Thanks. I'm nervous.
I'm just going to stay here and die.
I'm scared.
I'm not, because I don't value my life, but...
I like living. I'm on a lot of good meds.
Can't relate.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's nice not being worried about anything. I just don't really care that much. I don't get upset about things because... I don't really care what happens to me, so.
One, you do get upset about things, and that's okay.
No, I mean, I don't get upset about, like, things in the world happening, because, like.
Yes.
I've just reached capacity. Like, my mom will be like, listen to this horrible thing Trump said, and I'll be like, yeah, it's horrible. What the fuck do you expect? He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And, like, she still gets really, like, worked up about it, and I'm like,
Yep.
I got nothing.
Yeah. My dad's always worked up about it. And I feel like he kind of has to be aware of what's happening because of his job, but
You're a
yeah.
good dog. Wow. Okay, so we did the lesbians.
Yeah. Ugly, gross. I Lindsay can't hang. Don't like them.
No, but
As a couple.
Melanie is hot and cool.
Yes.
Michael?
Yeah.
Okay, so Michael is opening up his comic shop, and we meet Ben.
Yes.
Sexy
Yep.
professor.
He comes to buy some comics. He's like, I'm teaching about homoeroticism. And Michael's like, I can't put two Latin roots together and make sense of it. Okay, cool. Good to see
Actually,
that
I love
the
a
education
lot
system has
of
failed.
their interactions. Like when he mentions he teaches gay studies at Carnegie Mellon, and Michael says, "I knew with all that talk about cultural references, you had to be," and he wanted to say gay, and then he just says, "Professor." But now, anytime I hear the phrase "cultural references," I'm always like, "Gay!"
Oh my God. Yeah. Um,
But yeah, Ben is cool, played by a gay actor. Thank God.
oh fuck yeah.
It's about time we have another gay actor in this business.
Yeah, he's definitely not as like someone that you could like pinpoint on the street as gay as like I believe that you could with Justin and Emmett. So,
He actually was
yeah.
not out when he started this part and
Wow.
came out after the show was over. So for season one of the show, the actors all made a pact that none of them would reveal their sexual orientations.
Yes.
So at first, nobody knew anything about anyone. And then after that, they would start to reveal them. Gil Harold, who plays Brian, has never stated his sexual orientation, but he has had girlfriends.
Okay.
But he has refused to say it and answer questions.
I can't imagine that he's not bi.
There's a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
I
Like,
don't
it's the
know.
same thing with the woman who plays Shane.
Yeah.
Like, come
But I mean,
on. She's
she's
not
obviously gay.
straight. Yeah.
Gil Harold is assumed to be straight by most people.
Eh,
But there's,
okay.
yeah, there's also like tinfoil hat people who are like, he was in a relationship with Randy, and yeah.
Heh. I don't
There's a
know.
lot.
I just feel like if you're that staunch about not revealing,
Yeah.
like, come on.
Bobby Gantt, who plays Ben, originally said he was straight and kept that up, I think, until after the show was over.
Wow.
He didn't come out until after.
Wow. Yeah.
But he is out now.
That's good.
Okay, so we meet Ben. Michael goes and gives his little presentation at Carnegie Mellon. It's cute.
Yes.
I like some of what he
Yes.
says.
Yes.
I love the conversation that he and Ben have when Ben is convincing him to come when they're outside.
Yes, that was cute.
Yeah. Ben is just great in this episode. He is just, they did a great job of making him just dreamy as hell.
Yeah, so far there is nothing to not love about him.
And then they mention that he's positive.
I mean,
Which it's not nothing
that's
to not love,
neutral
but
for me.
it is, you know, a complication, especially in this time.
Yes. Yes. If it was not 2020 and I
Yes.
did not know the information that I know, maybe I would be concerned. But
Yes.
honestly, I can't get out of this mindset of thinking, like, cool, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, what's an another disability? Any of the ones that you or I have, it's like, okay,
Another thing is,
and
Ben, you'll find out, has not been positive for all that long. So it's
oh,
still
that
pretty new to
sucks.
him as well.
Yeah.
We will meet the person that he got it from.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's he's adjusting and he still has a lot of anger about it. Yeah, that he'll have to work through.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. Yeah. Especially since HIV/AIDS positivity is, well, what? HIV/AIDS is like a huge like thing that a lot of queer men have to grapple with. I mean, a lot of people in general.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, especially in the queer male community, so.
And, you know, at this point, when the show was made, there's still a lot of assumptions, like, it's a given that Ben will never be able to have biological children in this world.
What?
Because there's no way that it would be safe.
Oh. Okay.
That's at this point in time.
Yeah.
That's something that is assumed.
Okay.
And that's something that'll come up later.
I'm assuming that he wants children is the reason this comes up?
Sort of. You'll see.
Okay.
It's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But it's, just keep in mind that it's a different time. That is all I ask.
Okay. I will keep that in mind.
Ted and Emmett?
Yeah, let's talk about Ted and Emmett.
All right.
I love them.
Mm. Talk to me about them.
My buddies.
These actors are, like, still best friends.
Oh, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't want anything more for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just watching Sean and his girlfriend. They're just going on a walk. I wanted to
creepy.
Make sure that they weren't leaving because I have to talk to them about something. So.
Mm-hmm. Creeper.
Yeah. So basically, Ted is starting his porn website, which has a horrible name.
Jerk at Work.
Jerk at Work. I don't like it. I would also prefer if he was starting a production studio, but obviously that is not what's happening.
It is not.
He's basically, his website is live streams.
Yeah.
Okay, like, maybe just, like, invent Twitch before it was invented, you know? And at first he has this guy, and he, like, can't pay the guy very much, and the guy quits. And then he and Emmett try to hire Zach O'Toole, who shows up again.
Good to see
Zach
him.
O'Toole, yeah. He agrees to do it for $1,000.
I know. It didn't seem like much.
It's a little low for someone who has that big of a name. Like, I know porn doesn't pay as much as it's assumed to pay, but $1,000 for him, as they've built him up, seems low, but whatever. And he can't make it to the live stream because he's working on a shoot, and yeah, he basically calls and is like, oops. And so then Ted forces Emmett to crank it, and he does, and Ted is like, oh my gosh, you're bigger than Zach O'Toole. Which I'm assuming means something.
Sounds like Emmett has a very big penis.
No, I mean, I meant, like, that it might be relevant later, but maybe it won't be.
Not really, no.
Okay. Yeah, but, they made, like, $15,000, so that's pretty fucking good. Yeah.
And now, Emmett is going to be on Ted's website.
Like, all the time?
Yes.
Damn. Okay.
Emmett is now a porn star.
All right.
yeah. And that brings us to Brian and Justin.
Yeah. They were, in my opinion, they were fine. I don't really like the whole, like, I don't like miscommunication plots, which I think
you
also don't
I don't
like.
Either, yeah.
And this is, like, kind of like a will they, won't they, which is also more annoying than it is, like, mm-hmm. interesting to watch.
I get that. There's so many little moments here that I really like. When they're at the dinner with everybody and they're being just cute and coupley, I love that.
Yes.
And the whole scene with Debbie and Brian at the bar.
Which, they were playing the Smiths in the background? What bar plays the Smiths?
A bar that's set up for Brian Sorrow. It's a great scene. The little moment when Debbie asks Brian to admit that he loves Justin, and Brian doesn't admit it but doesn't deny it.
Yes.
And Debbie says, "I thought so."
Yeah.
And then I love the scene at the end when they come back together and they make the rules.
Yes. That was good, and definitely like the no kissing on the mouth thing like means more having heard you like state that it was important like previously.
Yep, yep, mm-hmm. yep. This scene is something that the producers of the show have referred to as our marriage ceremony for the two of them. It's just this. I mean, this is their stating their commitment, and it's.
I guess I would feel like it's that the prom, is more that in my eyes.
The prom isn't an agreement. The prom is just romance. This is.
But the prom is also like
a contract.
I don't know, because, like, to me, and this is probably because I don't like the marriage contract kind of thing.
Mm.
Like, it's not, it has no meaning for me personally, and, like...
You're signing my ketubah!
I'm signing your ketubah because I love you and Benny, and it's important to you guys.
Okay.
For me, in my relationships, it's not a thing that I... like want, because I don't even really want to get married. I want the party.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a Jewish American princess, so I need the expensive party. I feel like
why is it I need it to be Jap Day again. I feel like we didn't properly recognize Jap Day, and it needs to come back.
We can
again.
Have many Jap
Day needs to be monthly. I think it needs to be the 14th
one
of every
day month. Okay, the 14th of every month.
Yes, is Jap Day.
Okay, we can do that. It's almost going to be the 14th again.
Good.
yeah. But, like, to me, the, like, a wedding, or, like, I guess, like, a marriage ceremony is about, like, the pomp and, like, the celebration of it all. And, like, there was still a commitment, all, like, in a way, because Brian shows up at the prom... and he dances with Justin in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That is basically what a wedding is. Is you're, like, announcing to the world that we are together, you know? And they also had, like, the idea of, like, the first dance in there, and they were both wearing tuxes.
Mm-hmm. It I felt, can see the argument.
Yeah, to me, that feels very marriage-y.
We're entering a new phase of Brian and Justin here.
Yeah.
So I have a collection that I did where I took just the scenes that involve Brian and Justin and created.
I know.
Yeah. Just so that I don't have to watch the rest of the show. And this is one of the cutting off points for me. Is episode 6 is the end of one part of it. And the part is, you know, prom is the end of one, and then there's, like, the recovery section, which is here,
mm-hmm.
and then this is the part where they're just fucking happy as shit.
Oh, yes, so yes, you did mention that.
We get this next chunk of episodes up until episode 13 stuff gets kind of dicey, but they get through it, and then 16 is when stuff really starts to go downhill. But,
I don't want things to go downhill.
Nobody does. there's a reason season 2 is not my favorite season. But we're going to get a chunk of episodes where they're just not the main characters because they're just hanging out in the background being happy as shit. And it's really enjoyable.
That's what's coming up.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Excited.
They're just like very coupley and very adorable. And it's a good time.
I can't wait. Sorry, I'm like looking back at Bill because I know he's about to rip out his fur and I don't want him to.
You're fine. We're just about done. I think we're ready for Hot or Not.
Yeah, I'm ready for Hot or Not. My hot is going to be Emmett.
Okay.
He is a champ. He goes out of his way to get Zach O'Toole for Ted. He steps in for Zach O'Toole. All of the men on the website think that he's hot. You know, he is hot all around. I love him.
Love it. Good friend. I'm going to pick Debbie.
Debbie?
Yeah. When everyone is over at her house and they're placing bets on how long Brian and Justin will be together, she's the one who says, considering what they've been through, you should be betting for the house, not against it.
I agreed with that so hard.
She takes Justin in without asking questions when he shows up in the rain. And then she beats the shit out of Brian at the bar.
Yep.
Also, she's going to be really shitty for a bunch of episodes, so I want to give her credit while I can.
That's fair. That's fair. As for not, I texted you this, that I was giving my not to Lindsay, and I'm standing by it. Like, it's okay to be a prude, but it's not okay to be rude. Our new slogan.
I love it. Except we are rude. It's okay to be a prude, and it's okay to be rude.
It's okay for us to be rude.
It's okay for you to be a prude and for us to be rude. My not. You're gonna hate me, but I have to give it to Ted.
Yeah, you're fair. I mean, what? That's fair.
His website sucks, and I hate the way he forces Emmett onto the camera like that.
Yes, he's very mean to Emmett.
Yes.
Yeah. He does deserve a not. I just, like, I love him so much.
I respect that.
That it's, like, hard for me to give him a not unless he does something truly egregious.
That's fair. He will.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Okay. Everyone in this show gets not at least once.
Yes, they have to hold the idiot ball at some point. Okay, want to hear about next episode?
Yes.
Episode 7 is called The Leper.
Mm, oh, no.
Yeah. Michael decides to continue dating HIV-positive Ben, despite the objections of Brian, Ted, Emmett, and his mother, Debbie.
Why are they all objecting?
You will see. Lindsay and Melanie...
Oh, because of the HIV-positive. I'm so stupid.
Lindsay and Melanie struggled to get money for their wedding from Lindsay's parents. Success on Ted's porno website is swelling Emmett's ego.
Good. I can't wait for that.
This episode, I think it's really boring. But it's, and that's because there's hardly any Justin in it, so I don't care. But, this is the one where Brian meets Lita.
And oh, we get that moment. Oh, yeah, I love her. Oh, I'm excited.
So that's pretty fun.
Oh, we saw Daphne this episode.
Yes, it was great to see her.
Thank God.
She's thriving. Mm.
Yeah.
Love her to death.
Love her. Okay. I'm excited for that. I don't think... I mean, like, we can record again if you want to, but I feel like that's going to be hard for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the beach, so it's always...
Yeah, so sorry that you guys are only going to get this one episode this week, but that's how it's supposed to be. We usually spoil you. cool. That is fine with me. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you aren't following us on Twitter by now, you are homophobic. You can go ahead and follow us at A Little Too Harsh, at Hannah Mosk, and at Jesse_Quinn. That's it. Adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat.